Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.
Today's speaker is Father Ken DeVoy.
Good morning. It is wonderful to be here with you this morning. For those who don't know me, I am Father Ken DeVoy from the Archdiocese Department of Missions and Evangelism, and my job is to come alongside of you and encourage you in this work here in Atlanta in establishing an Orthodox Western Rite parish. And it is a joy to come and to celebrate the liturgy with you this morning and to fellowship with you. And what I find really fascinating is that I was contemplating Paul's epistle this morning in Corinthians. You have to realize that Paul is writing this letter to an established church. It's the first century. It's still in the 70s, 80s, 90s somewhere. And he's writing this letter and he's encouraging them. But what's really interesting is, being a first century church, you would have figured they would have all had it figured out. They had it going on and they just knew everything. And they didn't really need to be reminded of anything. But human nature being what it is we constantly need to be reminded of the important things that we need to hold on to as Christians. Not just the traditions, which in the Orthodox Church, we hold on to tradition extremely well. As a matter of fact, I mean, we have it down pat and wire, but sometimes, and this creeps in the church, we're still human beings, we let a few things slip, and we forget about the important first things. Is our liturgy is beautiful. It is perfect worship of God. It is described in the Old Testament, it is described in John's Revelation, is that eternal worship that's going on in heaven, the Lamb's Supper, the incense, the holy, holy, holies, all the things you hear here this morning. That we're not calling God down to be with us, we are being lifted up into that eternal worship that's going on in heaven. That's the beauty of the integrity of our faith, the integrity of our worship. Something we should never, ever let slip whatsoever. We should be very strong guardians of it. In the Orthodox Church, we do a great job of that. One thing we have a little bit of a hard time with, and it tends to slip through the cracks, is remembering that salvation first comes in faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation comes first in faith in Jesus Christ. And that it is the job of the church to preach Jesus Christ to those who are outside of the church. Just walk with me as I'm going to go through Paul's epistle here in 1 Corinthians. If you happen to have your Bibles with you, and I always encourage you to bring your Bibles with you, because when preaching's going on and things like that, it uses more of the senses. You're just not passively listening. You're actively listening by reading along with what is being preached. Brethren, now it's all inclusive because he understands there's men and women in the church. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Notice he starts right there in this pericope. He starts with, remember, I declare unto you the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Very basically, please don't answer. I'm just going to say, the gospel is good news that God has not left man alone to figure out how to make his way to him without any guidance. So God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. That salvation is not in the work that you and I do. But it's kind of funny because we still struggle with it. The gospel message is so simple, it eludes us. That somehow inside of us, there's still that in part of that broken human nature says, I've got to do X, Y, and Z. I've got to please God by my work and by my efforts and all those other things to earn my way to him. And part of that faith in Jesus Christ is accepting that God has accomplished it all fully. That once we've established our faith in Jesus Christ, yes, then our works do follow and confirm that and actually come alongside. That it's not just faith, but it's faith and works working together. But it has to begin somewhere. It has to begin in our hearts. Now, I think I've said this before, is the greatest distance traveled for a lot of people is that 18 inches from the heads of the heart. That we can stand, and we're going to say it in a few minutes, we're going to stand and profess our faith in those 12 statements of the creed. I believe, I believe, I believe, all the way through. And there's a part of that is, I believe in Jesus Christ. We stand and we publicly profess our faith in Jesus Christ. That's great. We can assent to that intellectually. We can say, yes, I believe in the tenets of the faith. I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe all of these things. But the question is, has that cognitive belief made it to your heart? Because God never said about David. Remember David? And he was kind of a shady character at times. Kind of broke all the Big Ten Commandments and was very lustful and very carnal and did, you know, broke all the Big Ten. But what's amazing to them, we also see in the scriptures that he danced before the Lord with all of his might. And God says, there is a man after my own heart. He never, ever, anywhere in the scriptures, applauds or exalts a man's mind. He doesn't say about David, there's a man after my own mind. He says, there's a man after my own heart. But see, we in the West are very cerebral in things. We like things black and white and very cognitive, and we're very, you know, show me, let me tell you. You know, we're a lot like Thomas. You know, just kind of let me touch, let me feel, and do those things. God is interested in the heart. Where is our heart? And in the early Jewish writing, it's like when he talked about from your heart, it was really not, they talk, it's not that physical organ. It's like your innermost being, from your soul. I want to ask you this morning, do you love Jesus Christ with your heart, with your innermost being? And how is that reflected in your life? Because we can assent to the things of the Christian faith. We can assent to a faith in Jesus Christ. We can assent to the doctrines of the Old Direction. We can assent to proper worship. And we can even go through the motions, and we can even advocate them. We can do those things. But it's very interesting, as all through the scriptures, it's again, we see that God wants our hearts. Because marriages, the healthy marriages, are yes, the ones that are obedient to the cognitive things and the oaths and all those other things and the vows. But the passionate marriages are those that are bound together, that those people are in love from their heart, from their innermost being. I didn't read a book about my wife and fall in love with her. My experience of living a relationship with her over 30 years has deepened my appreciation, has deepened my affection, has deepened the passion of my heart with her. I suppose I could have gone out, you know, before if I, you know, found a pamphlet on Sharon. I go, hey, she's a great engineer, and she's a halfway decent cook, and, you know, she's passionate about, you know, this and that and sports and all these other things in her life. And I could have said, wow, I think I love this woman. Yeah, I was reading facts, and I assented, wow, I like this person. And I suppose that kind of what happens today on all these dating sites, because people first read data, right? They get in there, they're reading data about, ooh, this might be a match for me. But it's not until the people begin to court one another, to begin to enter into that relationship and begin to live life together, that the heart begins to move, the heart begins to change, and the affinity for one another begins to solidify them in a real relationship. It's the same with us and God. We raise our children in the church, giving them the facts, giving them the data, giving them all the tenets of the faith, in hopes that one day they will actually fall in love with Jesus. And they will enter into that intimate relationship with him and be had the transformation of the heart. Because it's in the transformation of the heart that our world around us has changed. We're changed, the people we're in relationship with changes, and all those we come in contact with are changed. So Paul's reminding them, even what's great about his letter here is he affirms the doctrine of the apostles. He goes through and names them all. He gives, you know, yes, the doctrine of the faith. He affirms the church. But he goes back to the gospel message. He's reminding the church about their first love, about Jesus Christ. That as you're beginning, and I want to just encourage you, as you're beginning this mission work here, this mission station, if you will, that will make Advent successful is being in love with Jesus first. And yes, obviously the church is the body. But to really, really examine our hearts is where are we? If we're in love with Jesus and we tell other people about our relationship with Jesus, or they see it in us, if they see our love, if they see our passion, if they see our faithfulness, if they see how we interact with one another. I was at dinner last night, and I ordered my dinner, and you know, I had you know, soup, salad, dinner, and had a drink, and I had dessert. The waiter forgot to put my iced tea on the bill. It was probably, you know, $3 or $4 or whatever for a dinner. Hotels, they rob you because they got a captive audience. And so it's like, wow, this is just tea. But, you know, this is one of those things. When it came time to pay, the waiter came over and I said, you forgot. You forgot to put iced tea on there. And do you realize what the waiter's response was? He said, oh my goodness, thank you for your honesty. That shocked me. Thank you for your honesty. He said, do you know how many people would argue if I accidentally put something on? They argue with you. You got an extra bill. Even if it's $1 or $2, they'll argue with you. But he says, I can't remember the last time somebody has actually pointed out that I forgot to put something in. I said, I don't believe in stealing. I believe that honesty is the way it should be. Integrity and honesty. And that sparked up a, like, what's different about you? And then he asked me what I did. Of course, I was in somebody's clothes, but I said, I'm a priest. And he just, so in that moment, there was, as simple as that sounds, how we live our lives, how we interact with other people is a testimony to where our heart is. Even if I got away with it, and I could have been totally honest, even if I got away, or if I oversaw, I said, God would still know. That what we do even in the secret places, God knows. So whether 100 people are looking or nobody's looking, is our heart and our lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ. And that's how the world has changed. That individual, had, as small as that was, had an encounter with Christ at that moment. And saw something different in somebody that he doesn't see in the regular population. We, you and I, live in a post-Christian culture. Yes, we're in the Bible Belt down here down south. And a lot of, I cannot tune, it's amazing. The radio stations, the television stations, is you've got more people preaching the gospel down here. You got more churches probably per square mile. But what's really interesting, too, is I looked in the Yellow Pages. There are more abortion clinics per square mile down here, or more listed in your Yellow Pages than I find up in what's considered the liberal cold north. Interestingly, like, why are there more abortion clinics down here if the church is so large, so pervasive, and the gospel's being preached so much? I find that bewildering. Isn't, if there's more Christians down here, shouldn't the society be transformed more? And why, in a very liberal northeastern state, is you'll find maybe one, maybe two in the city of Milwaukee. Even in a city like Boston, which is some of the bigger cities, you find very few abortion clinics. And I'll argue the fact that while we don't see eye to eye with all of our Roman Catholic brother and sister on doctrine and a number of things, that the effect of the church there has been tremendous. That the fact that the sacramental church, that the historic church, has had an impact culturally in that area. And so I wanted, so we need to look at some of those things, is examine why, if there's more churches per square mile out there, more people preaching Jesus, more Christian radio stations, more Christian music, is why isn't our culture being transformed here? Because that's a, to me, that's an indicator. That's an indicator. You look at what's going on. Why? Why more abortion clinics? It means there's a silent thing going on. The church is not speaking to defend life. And I think that's a travesty. And I hope that as this mission church goes, that you develop a passion for the pro-life ministry. A lot of our Western Rite Orthodox churches have a passion, are very involved in crisis pregnancy centers, also in the whole pro-life movement. I think the church is pro-life. All life is sacred to God. You know, we make a mistake as we ask, and Christians get sucked into this whole thing. They said, when does life begin? And there's this scientific thing, is that conception. No, life begins in the mind of God. It doesn't begin when two human beings come together and an egg is fertilized. Yes, that is a physical thing, but life begins in the mind of God. And we as Christians have to think in that bigger meta-narrative, that bigger picture, that God brings all things into being, that God is the giver of life, and God is the originator of life. Yes, we are co-creators with God. We will also step so far out of the bounds that we destroy life as well in our broken fallenness. And the world is hungry for that truth. So how does this all get back around? I went off on a little tangent about life and looking how we transform the culture. Paul, in his letters, and I encourage you, please read the scriptures, because what was happening in the church, what's happening in the church today, was happening in the very early days of the first church. We're always struggling with the culture, and he's reminding these passionate Christians: yes, we have the apostolic church, we have correct worship, we have all these things, but don't forget your first love. Don't forget Jesus Christ first. Don't forget the passion of your heart. We see that letter, like we see that later affirmed in John, in the letters to the seven churches. Don't forget your first love. Let it be Jesus Christ. And when your heart is transformed, all of your relationships will be transformed. Did I hear a southern amen? Amen. 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 You guys are better at saying amen than they are at God. God is good. He's good all the time. And it's like our faith is amazing. And the world is so hungry in need of truth. And you and I are God's lips, and we are his hands and his feet. That he's left us, he's left the church in the world, he's left the body of Christ in the world to go tell people about Jesus, to go demonstrate Jesus, to go share Jesus. If you want to see this mission work grow, is start getting involved in this thing. Let your love be known. Let your love of Christ be known. And wow, watch what will happen. Amen? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.